Good morning.
Take a breath. Or keep breathing. Gently in. All the way through. And all the way up. Up to the highest part of your being. Because at the highest part of our being, at the crown, we awaken our highest mind, or at least the highest aspect of mind within us. Today we'll refer to that aspect as the Christ mind. And I'd like to affirm that the Christ in me is awake now. For here, the Christ is not about a person. It's about a consciousness. The Christ is the memory of God. And so with the Christ awakened in me, I declare I remember God. So the Christ in me is awakened now. Those of you who care to, would you know that with me? The Christ in me is awakened now. And I remember God. And I remember good. And I remember life. And I remember power. And I remember presence. Whatever aspect of consciousness that God is, I remember it now with the Christ in me, awake in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. Keep breathing. See inside yourself. And see the intelligence within you, within every cell, coming to life. Awakening, joyous in remembering. Christ in me, awake now. The memory of God, awake in me now. I remember, I remember, I remember. Let's take a journey into the silence. Just remembering the good that we are, the good that we have always been. And knowing the good that we will always be because we remember. Let's go on in. I remember. I remember the good that is. I remember the life that is. The joy that is. Because God is, I am. Because God is, I am. Could we say that together? Because God is, I am. So knowing that, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Unity.
Yay.
Who's here for the first time? I saw hands. Just raise a hand. You don't have to stand up. I saw hands. Ushers, would you lock the doors, please? We have something very special we're going to do today. I've got a little tube of...
No.
Welcome. Welcome to Unity. And just a little goat's head, but they're nothing but big deals. So, today, a false identity appearing real. And that's what most of us have acquired. A false identity. And we've convinced ourselves that it's real. And that song that Sarah just so beautifully sang. The character in it, she's longing for something. She's longing to know her specialness. And she's longing just to know her light. And then she wants her light to be seen, of course. And the issue with most of us when we're in this longing that we have is we're willing to settle for just the personality being seen. And it doesn't occur to us what we want is our light to be seen. We want our spirit to be seen. We want our God selves to be seen. And so the character is half right. I am this magnificent being. But I haven't got a clue what that means. And so in my studying, and I looked to a lot of our antecedents in New Thought, and I came down to the question, there's two separate questions, and most of us are answering the first one rather than the second one. And the first question is, who are you? And we start to tell, oh, I'm Sean, and I'm a minister, and I work at Unity of New York, and I work at Unity of Norwalk, and I weigh more than I want to weigh, and I have less hair than I wish I had, and but I am a perfect child of God.
Yes.
And none of that is true. It may be slightly factual, but none of it's true because there's an implied meaning behind most of the things I just said that aren't true, and they could change in a moment. Because if somebody came up to me and said, oh, I love your bald head, I would say, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I worked hard on this. You know, I like guys that are a little beefier. Really? And yeah, and I got to tell you, I'm so not here to fat shame anybody about weight. But what I will say is it's hard on the knees. That's my issue with my weight, more than anything. And I've dropped a few pounds lately. Yeah. And I've worked at it. And I'm grateful for that. But it's, you know, I said this in Norwalk last week. I look in the mirror and I don't mind what I see. I don't mind who I see. I think I look lovely. And and when I weighed, and I did weigh this at 99 pounds. Wow. The same height I am now. It was wonderful. I could eat, I'll tell you. But I was the skinniest thing you'd ever want to see. And I wasn't happier. You know, back when I wore a slim fit, they didn't make one. It was hard to find a size 26-inch waist pants. Anyway, the point is, the first question, who are you? And you start to list the things about your personality. But the second question, and this is the tough one, what are you? What are you? The one of you is your real identity. The what of you, the spirit of you, is your real identity. And so the longing that Sarah's character is singing about is to know her spiritual identity. And too often we're willing to settle for the personal rather than the impersonal. And that's the hard part to imagine. Wait a minute, my spiritual identity is completely impersonal. That's right. And therefore, my spiritual identity has no burden to it. There's no burden to my spirit, my God self, my love self, my life self. There's no burden to that because I can't change it. I can reveal it, but I cannot change my spirit self, my impersonal self. It's always been. It always is, and it's always going to be. Now I have gone to sleep regularly and forgotten my spirit self. How about that? Imagine that, anybody? Yeah. How many times today already? You know? And then you wake up to your light. You say, oh my goodness, that's who I am. I don't need anything from anyone. Because I am that I am. And God, I give myself over to thy will, however you choose to say that in your spiritual prayer, however you phrase that, whatever word you have for God. But you turn yourself over to your highest voice rather than telling your highest voice what to change in yourself or in the world. See, when we're in touch with what we are, our impersonal selves, we don't have to be afraid of dying. And if I'm not afraid of dying, I don't have to be afraid of living. And if I'm not afraid of living, I have virtually nothing to criticize myself about. And if I don't have anything to criticize myself about, well, then how could I criticize my brother or my sister? Even the ones I used to be afraid of in my sleepy self. When I was asleep, I began to fear everyone and everything. And I'll bet you at least six more times today I will fall asleep and begin to fear everyone and everything. I will be under attack once again by the air, the ground, the sky, the doors, and the people behind the doors. I will begin to fear because I know in my sleepy self that my false identity is real. I will know that I am Sean, who can be destroyed by anyone or anything. And they're all out to get me, except for two. You know, why not? I'll exclude two from everyone and everything that's out to get me. And then I'll wake up, and I'll see, and I'll know. And there will be no one and no thing that is actually out to hurt me, ever. There will be no one and no thing from anywhere that gives two hoots about hurting me, or that even could hurt me in their confusion. They could kill my body, but they can't hurt me. You cannot take spirit away from someone. You cannot take the good away from someone. Any good that was ever taken away from me, I unconsciously agreed to give it. And this is the hard stuff in spirit, because it's not about I should be guilty for that. And when I used to hear things like that in the early days of New Thought, I'd hear a statement like that, oh, I know, I'm so stupid. Oh, I know, I'm so ignorant. Oh, I know, I'm bad. I'm bad. I never would have given it away. I know I was three when I gave it away, but seriously, oh, what a stupid child I was. No, of course not. I just wasn't aware yet. But I'll tell you, there are some three-year-olds that don't give it away. There are some, and I'd like to know what's on their mind. That they, at three, have a clue on how to not give away their good. Not to give away their real identity, or at least not shut it down. I'd like to know what's up with them. Those special few who have come into their bodies, into this life, to say, wait a minute, I don't agree. And you know what? I don't even have to fight you on it. Whoever you is, be it their parents, be it any confused adults or kids. Hello. What's up? Would you tell them I'm not available right now, please? Thank you. I'm sure they're just calling to praise, But you know, from Facebook Live, now they're calling in. Wow, he's fantastic. How many cameras are on him? And so, but in that confusion of light, when I was a little boy, and some of my adults didn't like me, and I was like, how could you not like me? I'm adorable. I was an adorable child. You look at pictures on Facebook, and it's like, to look at that sweet kid and not like him, well, that was insane. And so, now, in my more awakened state, I can say, oh, it wasn't me. It wasn't me that they were mad at. It wasn't me they didn't like. They didn't like themselves, and they were not prepared to accept the light that I was offering. I prefer that story. Not a better story? That for some of you, your adults didn't know what to do with the light that was you because they forgot their own light. Not because they were horrible people, even though they may have been horribly behaved. There is a difference. Because you see, if I cannot find a pathway in forgiveness for the people who were horribly behaved, I can't find it for me. All must be welcomed into the kingdom if I'm stepping into the kingdom. I'm going to read something to you. Comes from my favorite book, The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. And this is in the book of Matthew. And it's chapter 6, verse 24, and it says, no one can stand in both the light and the darkness. For either he will stand in the darkness and cannot see, or he will stand in the light and see clearly. But I say to you, he who stands in the dark may not know he is lost, because he cannot see. So do not decide for yourself where to stand, for you may think you stand on the path of righteousness when your feet are surely lost. Ask for light and let it lead you without questioning where it takes you. Remember that until you see all the world within the light, you may be lost. Letting the darkness lead your way. This part may sound familiar to you. Therefore, do not worry about which way you should go or what you should do next. Instead, ask now for the surety of the light to light the way for your next step. Listen in quiet to the guidance of the heart as it tells you where to place your step. Be concerned only with letting your steps be led. For by following the guidance of the light, you will surely be walking the way of life. For the light and life are one, but if you let your mind be distracted by other concerns and you begin to worry about troubles within the world, you will forget to step clearly or carefully with the light, and you will run frantically into the dark. Then you shall look around and realize that once more you are lost, for you cannot find the path of life without the guidance of the light. For the light and life are one. If you have lost one, you are lost from the other. Now, last Sunday, I made a suggestion to my group in Norwalk, and then I put it on Facebook. Anybody read my Facebook page this week? Yeah. Boom, do. Okay. I made a suggestion that everyone who needs to go on your Facebook page and delete every hateful thing on it for the past year or 2 years. Everything where you're criticizing the government, your neighbor, yourself, a celebrity. Go on there. I see somebody's already running out to do it. Every place you have criticism and hatefulness, delete it from your page, because that's not what you want to be holding. It is absolutely not what you want to be holding. You and so there, I know there's some here, but they deserve it. He or she deserves it. No. And most of all, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to live your life with hate in your heart. You just don't deserve that. You deserve love and light. You deserve what you are in your impersonal self. We have taken so much personally. We've taken so much that's happening in the world very, very personally. And we need to go within and ask how to see our bodies, how to see our homes, how to see our money, how to see our lives, how to see the very ground we walk on, how to see our politics and politicians, how to see what is happening. You know, we will condemn someone to hell, even though we don't believe in hell and unity. I think some of us would gladly create it to send a few people there. You know, somebody's ready to light a match and create a hard burning place to put some of our public figures in it. Problem is, you gotta step in first. But I'm innocent. Not if you're sending somebody to hell, you're not. And so, you gotta look and say, okay, I don't want this. I remember when I was advised to forgive my father, my dad, for the stuff he had done. And I was talking to a healer I went to, and I said, but I know forgiveness is for me, so I'll do it when I get around to it. And he said, no, forgiveness isn't just for you, it's for them too. And I said, really? He said, yeah, you don't want to keep somebody stuck. My dad was dead at this point. And he said, you don't want to keep him stuck. And I thought about it, and I thought, no, I don't. My resentment isn't worth keeping anyone stuck to keep from moving on. So, here's my thought. If we call upon our impersonal selves, where we know we are love, where we know we are light, where we know we are good and cannot not be good, where we are changeless in our true selves, and we become willing for that same thing to be revealed in all those we fear, in all those we hate, in all those we don't understand, would you be willing that all beings become joy-filled? That the light of God begins to emanate from all beings? Or are there still a few you're holding out for because they must be punished for how they have scared you for the past few years? Or would you say, I can let them go into the light too? Your good lies here, lies now, and I'm willing for you to see it, to recognize it, and to live in it. Because you see, joy-filled people don't hurt other people. Happy people do not scheme to take good away from anyone. And so, would you be willing to be one of, maybe you are, but those of you who aren't, would you be willing to be one of the happy people who sheds light? Not goes and preaches at people, but sheds light. To where someone could say to you, you are so happy. How do you do that? And you say, well, I'm praying differently. I'm loving differently. I'm becoming willing that everyone be happy. And it starts with me. Would you be willing? I'm going to read one more thing. This comes from the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter 1, it starts with verse 10, and it says, and now you see, all that you have known beyond the thoughts that cloud the mind is emerging as the truth you have always known. You are eternal. This personality is not you. This world is not you. Not even these interactions are able to define you as you. They are all temporal, an experience of the imagination of mind, They shall pass, and you shall still be you, as you have always been and shall forever be. That recognition that feels this truth, that is the edge of the awareness of you. It is there in your awareness now. It has always been there, a part of your core knowledge. It has never doubted itself. It has always been the same. Rejoice. This knowledge which you are aware of is your truth. This is the knowledge of you. Every step has been a stepping stone within awareness only. There is no change. You are eternally, lovingly, and perfectly whole as you are now. Let's raise our mind. Let's celebrate. And we say, because God is, I am. And so it is. Amen.